Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring. My wife's on a special assignment today. Yesterday, as I was talking about, we started a conversation about, well, today we're going to finish it on breaking the circle of failure. Several years ago, I wrote just that, about the circle of failure. It was a very long sentence that contains 10 points to failure. I've never done a teaching on this circle, but now I am. Here are the 10 points, and I'm just going to give you the five we talked about yesterday, and then we'll pick up, we'll do a brief review and finish the teaching. Circumstances lead to situations, producing problems, spawning worry, leading to stress. Circumstances. Let's establish the fact that circumstances, or circumstance, is defined as the circle you're standing in. If you're standing still, you have to contend with those circumstances. But if you're moving from glory unto glory, you ought to be leaving your circumstances behind. What does it take to change a circumstance? Matthew 3:2, classic Amplified, offers great advice. And saying repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of God is at hand. By the way, interesting definition of repent. If we believe, practice, and adhere to these four things in Matthew 3:2, we no longer have to worry about circumstances. Second part, number two, situations. Why worry about situations when we can pray the Word of God and give it all to Him? Let Him deal with it. When we show ourselves faithful, when we do not grow weary in well-doing, when we overcome bad situations, when we endure the mess of life, then God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us. Get ready to shout. Galatians 6:9, classic Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Third area we talked about was producing problems. Whatever your problem is, God wants to help you find the solution. Psalm 142:2, New Century Version. I pour out my problems to Him. I tell Him my troubles. Every problem we face, there's a reason. Not an excuse. We seek to excuse away our problems, then we'll never find a permanent solution. Whenever we stop blaming other people for our problems, then we're one step closer to solving them. We can't control what other people do, but we can control ourselves and be a problem solver. Number four, spawning worry. Worry will not put a penny in your checking account, get your job back, increase your sales, bring your spouse home, lead you to the Lord, or heal your body. But it will make you sick and steal your life. Is there an antibiotic for worry? Absolutely. Prayer. Number five, leading to stress. We find ourselves in stressful situations at work. We need to acknowledge it. Then ask God to show us ways to deal with and overcome it. I find peace in Psalm 119:143 in the New Living Translation. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Simple. Spend more time in the Word in His presence. Every answer to every question, every stress is found in the Word of God. One more word. This is important because stress is first manifested by external or outside circumstances before it internalizes. That's why this first step is so critical. Now let's pick up where we left off yesterday. That sentence again. Circumstances lead to situations producing problems, spawning worry, leading to stress. And here's the rest of it. Creating anxiety, followed by ineffectiveness, resulting in sickness, excuses, and ultimately failure. Number 6, creating anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7, classic Amplified Bible. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him who cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I emphasized, obviously, the word all in that. God does not want us to hold on to our anxieties, worries, and concerns about our finances or our future. He wants us to turn our cares over to him. Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7 in Amplified Bible. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything in prayer and by petition, by definite request and with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God. Hallelujah. And being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is that peace which transcends all understanding. And that peace shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wow, that ought to give you peace. When the word says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything, it's not offering a last resort suggestion. It is a divine directive for your peace of mind and direction. Psalm 94:18, classic Amplified. In the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts cheer and delight my soul. Number 7, followed by ineffectiveness. If you've been ineffective in the workplace, marketplace, or your personal place, your personal life, have a 7-step system to increase your effectiveness in the most important areas of your life. Relax. You won't need the advice of a life coach or some self-improvement guru. The answer is found in the greatest book ever written. 2 Peter 1:8, New International Version. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are 7 keys to turn ineffectiveness into the most important area of our lives. 2 Peter 1:5-7, New International Version, offers the answers that you seek. For this very reason, make every effort to add faith, 1, goodness, 2, and to goodness, knowledge, 3, and to knowledge, self-control, 4, and to self-control, perseverance, 5, and to perseverance, godliness, 6, and to godliness, mutual affection, 7, and to mutual affection, love. That's how you turn ineffectiveness into effectiveness. Because that next verse, I read you a moment ago, that next verse, 2 Peter 1:8, says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be effective in everything our hands find to do, so that it will bring glory and honor to him. It's just that simple. Number 8, ineffectiveness resulting in sickness. Luke 13:10, classic Amplified. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who there for 18 years had had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or look upward. The woman had suffered for 18 years. No doubt the enemy had come to steal her hope, kill her dreams, and destroy her faith. But it didn't work. I'm confident the enemy was laughing at this woman, encouraging her to denounce her faith in God and his word. When the enemy discovered this woman was about to meet Jesus in the synagogue, truthfully, he had to get a little nervous and maybe even a little nauseous. Luke 13:12, New Living Translation. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of this sickness." The woman wasn't in the temple by accident. She was there by divine appointment. And in the midst of her pain, and the previous 18 years, she was expectant. Luke 13:13, next verse. Classic Amplified. Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she recognized and thanked and praised God. Number 9, excuses. Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he said accountability breeds responsibility. That's two words. Accountability brings two words, response ability. There are several phrases that that we should never hear from lips of a steward who is accountable. It's not my fault. I didn't do that. Sadly, even many believers refuse to take responsibility for their own actions. Some people justify their lack of action or ineffectiveness with a laundry list of excuses. The American Heritage Dictionary says that an excuse is an act of justification. Proverbs 24:11, the Message Bible. Rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, "Hey, that's none of my business," will that get you off the hook? Somebody is watching you closely. You know, someone not impressed with weak excuses. Well, I love that translation. People who are good at making excuses, denying accountability, will never be good at anything else. And number 10, I realize we're running a little long, but number 10, failure. I've always said failure is an event. It's not who you are. Failure is never final if you have the God-given desire and direction to change your destiny. The best way to overcome failure is to face it, learn from it, and move on. Proverbs 28:13, the Living Bible. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Never accept final as final, regardless of how badly you may have messed up. And when you and I can accept failure as a learning experience, we can keep growing. Now, that's how you turn the enemy, what the enemy meant from harm and failure into success. And that's how you never will be subjected to the circle of failure. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says, "Sow a seed," just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. It's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts.